Great participation today. Outstanding.
John, how do you know our treat for today?
Rocks. Is it rocks? Take your Bibles and open with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Boy, aren't kids great? You know, they should still have that show, The Kids Say the Darndest Things. I know that's a long time ago, but it was always great. Art Linkletter. That was one of the earliest books I read as a teen. My parents gave me that book. All right, 1 Corinthians, we are going verse by verse through this letter if you're visiting with us. And this morning we come to chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 12 to 20. We certainly will not cover all of them, but just so that you see the big picture. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This passage, believe it or not, is about Christian liberty. It's about Christian liberty and your body. The passage begins in verse 12, all things are lawful for me. And turn over now, just briefly, to 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Should sound very familiar. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Those verses, 1 Corinthians 6, 12, and 1 Corinthians 10, 23, serve as bookends. And between them, the large topic is Christian liberty. What liberty do we have in Jesus Christ? And more specifically, in chapter 6, it's Christian liberty and your body. In chapter 7, it's Christian liberty and marriage. In chapters 8 and 9, it's Christian liberty and ministry. So the big theme here in chapter 6, I don't want you to miss this, it's Christian liberty and your body. There are many things lawful to do with your body. But are they all wise? Are they all helpful? Are they all pleasing to the Lord? Now what brings this topic up is the gospel in verse 11. So let's start with the gospel in verse 11. Back up one verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Paul says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." This is good news for Christians. "Such were some of you" means some of you used to be unrighteous. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were practicing sexual immorality. But, there's the key word, but, praise be to God that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God, when you heard the gospel and you came to faith in Jesus, you were washed. All your sins washed away forever. Oh, that is great news. You were sanctified, set apart from sin to serve God with your body. And you were justified. Now, that is a legal term. Justified means in the court of God's law, you have been declared righteous. In fact, we could look at other places and you would see that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to your account. Forever. You know what that means? You have been set free from the law of sin and death. The question now is, can I do what I want with my liberty? If I am free, and I am, It was for freedom that Christ set you free, Galatians 5:1. If I am free in Jesus Christ, and I am, and you are, if you are a believer, are you free to be foolish? Are you free to sin? Are you free to do anything you want? Paul here quotes the Corinthians and corrects them. Paul is correcting the immature, foolish thinking of some that since I am free to do whatever I please. Paul is correcting that foolish thinking. It would be, I guess, a little bit like this. Imagine you teach your children, because you love your kids, you teach them certain rules in your house. They're not free. They're under dad's and mom's rules. And you, if you grew up in the Northeast, as I did, maybe you were taught, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go out with girls who do. Well, why? Because drinking and smoking and chewing tobacco, these things are bad for you, and girls who do those things, those are not the girl for you. My parents actually taught me that, along with a bunch of rules. Now, how wise or how mature would it be for me, once I get out on my own, to say, ha ha, I'm free. I'm not under the folks anymore. I can now go out and drink, smoke, and chew, and go out with girls who do. How wise would that be? I would show myself to be a fool if I did that. Or to show myself to be very immature about my understanding of liberty. Well, sadly, what was happening in Corinth is, Paul had gone there and preached the gospel by the grace of God. Sinners had come to faith in Christ, and now they were free. But some of them were using their liberty, would you believe, for sexual immorality? Why? All things are lawful for me, was one of their sayings. And the other one was, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. So Paul is going to quote their sayings because they're not altogether wrong, but then he's going to correct them. So we're going to look at these two sayings which Paul corrects, and we'll come up with some questions which we ought to ask when it comes to exercising Christian liberty. The first saying is found in verse 12. All things are lawful for me. You say, well, that's Paul talking. Well, yes and no. Paul is actually quoting a slogan that was popular in the culture. Today, someone might say, hey, you only live once, bro. You only live once, bro, so try this. You only live once, bro, so do whatever. Do what feels good. Well, is it true that you only live once? Yeah, it's true. But if you use that as a license to sin or a license to do what destroys you and your family and your relationships, you show yourself to be a fool. So Paul quotes their slogan and corrects it. Look what he does. Verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. That's the real truth. They were quoting a partial truth. All things are lawful for me, and using that to justify every kind of sinful and foolish behavior. You know what? The same thing happens today. There's no law against that. Who says I can't eat rocks? You know what? No one says you can't eat rocks. But if you eat rocks, you know what? You're being foolish. There's no law against me poking myself in the eye. You know, there isn't. But that's not helpful. The mature Christian thinks this way. You know, all things are lawful for me. There's so much I can do with and to my body that has not been explicitly prohibited. But not all things are helpful. What does he mean, not all things are helpful? The word is profitable. And it's used to describe things that are for the common good. Paul says later in 1 Corinthians 12:7 that the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the good of all, for the profit of all. It's the same word here. Sumphero, the bringing together for good, from which we get symphony. So think about a symphony for a moment. A symphony is the bringing together of various people, various gifts on various instruments, to be joined together to make a beautiful sound, right? That's a symphony. the bringing together for good. It's the word Paul uses here. Now, can the person on the trumpet, hey, there's no law says I can't play whatever tune I want. Yeah, but you aren't being part of the symphony when you go off on your own. Right? Yes, there is no law. But let's not be foolish to think that the law is our standard. The law is not our standard. What is symphonic, what is profitable for the good of all, is the Christian standard. So here's a question to ask. When it comes to what you might do with your body, and we'll come up with a list in a moment here of things you might do with your body, a question to ask is this profitable for all? Not just for me. But is this somehow for the common good? If I eat rocks, is that somehow going to be good for me and good for others? Or not? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not profitable. This, you could call it, is the profit question. For example, is there a law that expressly forbids me as a pastor from taking up snuff? Skull, Copenhagen, you know, where I grew up, hill country of Pennsylvania, every guy had on his left or right back pocket what? You know what it is? A little ring. A little white ring. You're like, hey, what's the ring on the guy's back pocket? Well, that's where he carried his Skull or Copenhagen, and it wore out his pants. So his jeans, every pair of jeans he had, had a white ring where the Skull or Copenhagen wore that out. Now, is there any law that prohibits me as a pastor from rubbing snuff, just a pinch between my cheek and gum and get that full back flavor? Is there a law against that? There's no law against that. You can't find it. You will not find I'm over 18. No law prohibits me. But let me ask you, if I started doing that, do you think that would be for our common good? Do you think it would be even good for me? No. If you saw me down at the 7-Eleven picking up a couple packs of Skull or Copenhagen and, you know, putting some in there, you would be right to say, Pastor, is that profitable? No. It's not profitable for me. Certainly not for you. It's the dentist would say it's not profitable for my teeth, right, docs? No, not profitable. All right, so Paul is correcting the foolish, immature thinking that says, there's no law against that. All things are lawful for me. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or profitable. Then he says, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What does he mean? Well, Paul knows what you and I know. Some things have the power to become a bad habit. Some things have power to enslave us, to entrap us. Some things people do with their bodies are addicting. So it was back then, so it is today. To help you think about this, let's list some things that are lawful. They're not expressly forbidden by law, but which have the power to become a bad habit. They're powerful. How about, I already said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew. Alcohol, does that have power to enslave? Yes. Shake your heads. Yes, it does. I mean, did anybody remember high school? Alcohol is a blank. A drug. A poison, somebody said. I think the right answer actually was drug, so you might get minus half a point for that. Alcohol is a drug. It is addicting. Okay? So Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. Alcohol has that potential. What else has the potential? Snuff. Tobacco has the potential. Smoking has the potential to enslave. What else? Cigarettes have the potential to enslave. What else? Chewing tobacco. Very good, Rodney. Excellent. Chewing tobacco has the power to enslave, to become addictive. How about pornography? Absolutely. Has the power to enslave, and many men are enslaved. What else? How about shoot 'em up video games? That is violent. And I have heard, and I believe it's true, that it has the power to enslave. Like, people keep coming back and playing more and more and want to beat the last time score and kill more or whatever it is they kill. We had a law in our house that our children would not play those games. Not because there is a law against it, and not because all the other parents agreed with that. Actually, the other parents were like, you are mean parents. Won't let your kids play video. What's wrong with video games? Well, we think there's something wrong with video games, and so we don't let our kids play them. You know what? My kids are out, and they're on their own, and they're free. And I am very thankful that they have not thought that the liberty they now have should be used to go buy Call of Duty and become engrossed with Call of Duty. Why? Because it's not profitable, and because it does have the power to enslave, and they actually have fellow students in their respective academies who seem to be addicted to video games. What else has power to enslave? Certain kinds of medications. I'm sorry, I had an answer here. Coke or Pepsi? Caffeinated drinks? Coffee? Coke, Pepsi? Rodney? Violent movies. Very good. Rodney has participated. It's good for you. Violent movies have that ability. Certain kinds of medications, sleeping pills, marijuana, there's a big topic today, right? And I see it in all the Christian magazines are talking about too. Can a Christian smoke pot? There's no law says I can't do that in the state of Colorado and Washington and D.C. and a few other places, right? The question is not that. The question is it profitable? And of all these things, is this profitable? And does this have the power, the potential to enslave me? The first question is the profit question. Is this for the common good? The second one is the power question. Does this have the power to enslave me? So Paul is correcting the thinking of foolish, immature Christians. They were actually using this, would you believe, to justify sexual immorality. And their slogan was, there's no law against that. I can watch this. Eating could be. So is Paul saying, I will never ever have a cup of tea? Notice what he says. I will not be brought under the power of any. I would say probably if Paul would have a cup of tea, if he felt like he's becoming addicted to tea, he'd say, you know what? There's no way. I am not going to become overpowered by that. Then he says, verse 13, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. What is this? This is an argument of, hey, what's it for anyway? Didn't God make snuff, Copenhagen, Skoll, cigarettes, wine, beer, everything we just mentioned? I mean, isn't God sovereign? Yes. Isn't he the creator of all things? Yes. Well, then what's it for anyways? Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. Why would they say that? That became a justification of, I should do whatever satisfies my appetite. If I have an appetite for blank, then I will make use of blank. Because after all, stomach for foods, the foods for stomach. Paul's saying no. No, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. By the way, Paul can quote these things because it's not as though there's no truth in that. God is the creator of all things. And your stomach is designed to handle certain foods. And foods are for your stomach. You know, I could do this. I could say, let's say I go away for a while. And I hear that New Life Bible Church has gone completely away from preaching. And I write back and I say, well, what? You're not having preaching and teaching of the word anymore? And I say, well, you know, people would rather see a sermon than hear one. Is there any truth to that? Yeah? You've heard that. You've probably heard that before, right? That's a popular saying. But if you're using that to justify no more preaching and teaching, I might write back and I'd say, people would rather see a sermon than hear one, but Jesus preached. People would rather see a sermon than hear one, but Jesus commands preaching, and woe is us if we don't preach the gospel. That's what Paul is doing, see? He's using their statement, but he's correcting them. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. Yeah, but God will destroy both it and them, but the body's not for sexual immorality. Yeah, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But don't tell me that that frees you to use your body for anything. It doesn't. And the specific issue here was they were using their body for immorality. The body is not for immorality. Take up a new slogan, and here's the mature Christian slogan. See it there in verse 13? The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. This is the purpose question. What is your body really for if you're a Christian? Your body is to be used for the glory of God. And when it comes to what you do with your body, you should be saying, number one, is this really profitable for me and for the relationships I have around me? Is this really profitable for the common good? Number two, does this thing have the power to enslave me? Am I perhaps being taken in here? I will not become enslaved or brought under the power of anything. And third, is this really for the Lord? Is this pleasing to Him? When I'm doing this, am I really using my body for the Lord? And then Paul says, and verse 14, God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. You remember when God raised Christ? You know, that is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. That Christ died for sins, He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again according to the Scriptures. And when He did, when Christ rose again, did He have a body? He did. In fact, you remember doubting Thomas? Unless I see in his hands the print of those nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Doubting Thomas. Jesus very graciously, after 8 days, appeared to him and the other disciples. John 20:27. And Jesus said to doubting Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. And be no longer unbelieving, but be believing. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now there's much to learn from that. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is God. He is God in the flesh. But learn this, that when He rose up from the dead, He had a body which still had the marks of His crucifixion. It was a resurrected body, but it was still His body. Recognizable with those marks. So when it comes to Christian liberty and your body, 1 Corinthians 6, should you abuse your body? Should you do things that are abusive to you? No. No, your body is going to be raised up from the dead. Don't abuse your body. This could be the abuse question. So, beloved, let's think about this. All things are lawful for me. Well, Paul doesn't quite mean that in the same sense the Corinthians did, but having been set free from the law, there are many, many things you can do with your body. And you know what? That's a blessing. Christian liberty is a huge blessing. But should we trash it? Should we abuse it? Should we think, woohoo, freedom, I can do whatever I want with my body? No. Paul is teaching here, Christ is teaching us here, to think that way is the thinking of the foolish and the immature. The Christian thinking is this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Is this profitable for the common good? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Does this thing have the power to enslave me? Is it starting to enslave me? Food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but my body's not for immorality. My body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for my body. He's for you, but He's for you to do with your body things that are profitable and things that glorify Him. Another way of putting it, is this thing helpful? Is this thing potentially harmful? And is this thing for Him ultimately? Beloved, I say to you what Paul says at the end of this chapter. You were bought at a price. What was the price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you now take the liberty you have in Christ and you do things that are not profitable, that are powerful to enslave you, and that are not at all for the glory of the Lord, you trash the blood of Christ. You become guilty of sinning against the blood of Christ. You were bought at a price. Therefore, beloved, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a loving Father. Thank you that you have set up guidelines, boundaries, guardrails for us so that we don't drive off the road and crash and burn. Thank you that you have set up principles for us which are to guide us in our decisions about how to use our liberty. We rejoice and praise you for the great liberty that we have in Jesus Christ to eat and drink and enjoy life and do various things. But Father, help us to be wise. Help us to be mature with what we do with our Christian liberty. Help each one of us to glorify you in our bodies. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.